That right there, the Dolly Rots with Get Radical. That was a single that they put out in 2018. One of my favorite tracks of 2018. Always happy to play it here on the program. Really, really, you know, I think represents the essence of this program, if you will. And that program, of course, is Into the Woods here on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Coast Salish Musqueam territory here at the beautiful University of British Columbia campus. My name is Mel Woods, hanging out with you every week as I do Tuesdays, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. East Pacific Standard Time here on 101.9 FM in the Lower Mainland and around the world at CITR.ca. And back after an extended hiatus this week. It's very exciting to be back in the Radioverse, back in Radio Land after... Well, I was all over the place, Radioland. I was in China, I was in the Okanagan, I was in Calgary, and now I am finally back here in Vancouver with you on the airwaves and very happy to be back. And it's a jam-packed show today. We've got tons of great tunes. We're going to be looking back at some of my favorite music from 2018, some new stuff that's already come out in 2019 that I'm psyched about, and we even have an interview. Yeah, it's like I said, jam-packed. I'll be chatting with the editors of a new book called Spawning Generations. Well, new, it came out in May, and it's been doing great, and there's a celebratory party event happening at Massey Books this week. Celebrating it. This book's all about the children of queer parents and their stories. So I'm really looking forward to chatting with the editors of that book later in the program. But for now, let's talk a little bit about music. Again, that Dolly Rots song, a great way to kick off the program. And we're going to keep that energy up as we move forward with a track off of probably my favorite album of 2018. I'm a little biased because I love this band. Anyways, always. Of course, I'm talking about Peach Kelly Pop. 2018 marked them getting signed to Vancouver's Mint Records, which makes me happy because it means they'll be back in town playing shows as much as possible. I got to see them live three times in 2018, once at their kind of album release signing party here, and then twice at Calgary Sled Island Music Festival. Tons of energy, and with this next track I'm going to play, just imagine a whole room of people just like bouncing up and down to like pop punk goodness. And it's just going to be a great old time. So yeah, this track is Black Cat 13. It comes off of Gentle Leader, one of my favorite albums of 2018 from Peach Kelly Pop. We'll listen to that. We'll listen to a few other great things. And then we will come on back in a bit.
Thank you.
another great 2018 release there. That was Future Me Hates Me off of the album of the same name, coming from the Beths. Before that, we heard one of my first favorites of 2019. That comes from Russian dream pop group Angelic Milk. The track is Winona off of their album, and I think it is important to note that this is in all capitals, Divine Biker Love, which is truly great. And then, of course, kicking off the set, we had a little bit of Peach Kelly Pop, Black Cat 13 off of their album Gentle Leader. You're tuned in to Into the Woods here on CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Mel Woods, hanging out with you on this beautiful Tuesday evening, as I always do, bringing you some great tunes, fun, and radio friendship. And after this next track, we're going to actually be joined in the studio with some great guests, the editors of Spawning Generations, which is a book all about growing up with queer parents and the stories and tales of folks in that position. So I'm really excited to talk to them. I'm going to play you another track or two before that, and we're going to listen to a little bit of Buffy. Buffy St. Marie, you can never go wrong with Buffy, I think. And so the next track that we're going to listen to is coming off of Medicine Songs, her great 2017 album. We're going to listen to No No Keshagesh as the eighth track off of that album. And then I'll be on here with the editors of Spawning Generations. So stick it here. Don't touch that dial. All those fun radio terms. And we will chat again in a bit. Here's a little bit of Buffy.
So many business suits. Never knew a dollar sign could look so cute. Never knew a junkie with a money Jonesy singing. Who's selling Park Place? Who's buying Boardwalk? These old men, they make their dirty deals. Go in the back room and see what they can steal. Talking about your beautiful for spacious skies. It's about uranium. It's about the water rights. Good mother nature on luncheon plate. They carve her up and call it real estate. Want all the resources and all of the land. They make a war over it, blow things up for it. The reservation out at Poverty Row. Get something cooking and the lights are low. Somebody's trying to save our mother. Your time has come, we're gonna see.
newspapers and magazines did you regularly read to stay informed and to understand the
world? I read most of them, again, with a great appreciation for the press, for the media.
But like what ones specifically?
All of them.
Want to know more than Sarah Palin? Join CITR's Current Affairs Coordinator Alex DeBoer every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. in room 2514 in the AMS Nest to learn best practices for covering local current affairs topics for radio. The weekly training sessions will cover writing for radio, determining newsworthiness, media ethics, interviewing, writing balanced stories, and more.
January 17th is Art's birthday. Tune in to CITR
from midnight to midnight
for 24 hours of radio art. Your ears will be bent, blown, tantalized, and tarnished.
We promise. We promise.
The world is a better place. So you're a member of CITR and Discorder, but are you a true friend?
Get a Friends of CITR and Discorder card for $20 for discounts around downtown at
Little Sisters Book and Art Emporium, Sakura's Classical Records, the Cinematheque, Vinyl Records, and the Fall Tattooing.
And welcome back. We are here on Into the Woods on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Coast Salish Musqueam territory here at the beautiful University of British Columbia campus. You just heard a little bit of Buffy St. Marie off of Medicine Songs, that track there, No, No, Kesha Gesh. And I'm very excited to pivot a little bit. It's been a while since we've had any interviews, guests, whatnot on the program. And so I think it's a great way to kick off 2019 and all the good things that bring with it. And so I'm very excited to welcome the editors of Spawning Generations to the program today. We have Makeda Zook and Sadie Epstein Fine on the line. Hi, folks.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, totally. So you guys edited a book, that's correct?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. So maybe for the folks out there who aren't familiar with Spawning Generations, can you talk a bit about what this beautiful book child that you've given birth to is?
Sure. So Spawning Generations, Rants and Reflections on Growing Up with LGBTQ plus Parents, is a collection of personal essays and stories from the kids who have grown up with queer and trans parents. We affectionately refer to ourselves as Queer Spawn. And so the book spans six generations. So we start in the 1950s, and our youngest contributor is writing in 2018. And we span five countries and three continents. So we're getting writing from around the world, as well as locally in Canada. And so it's a real reflection of our community spanning over like 70 years.
Wow. And so are these nonfiction stories, fiction stories, a mix of both?
Okay.
These are all nonfiction. So they're, as Sadie mentioned, they're personal essays. We have our youngest contributor, Sadie mentioned, he was 9 at the time of writing his story. So he actually included some pictures as part of his chapter. But yeah, mostly it's personal essays and some with some accompanying pictures.
Great.
And, you know, we of course have the pieces that break form. So one person wrote his life as a play. And one person drew her experience in a painting. Wow. So we definitely have a range of expressions in the book. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is motivated off of personal experience for the two of you, right?
Yeah, for sure. So both Sadie and I identify as queer spawn. And we, both of us grew up in the 1980s, 1990s with lesbian moms. And we, each of us, neither of us knew our sperm donors, and we grew up really in a community of lesbian feminists with our lesbian moms. And we really, when we came together to edit this anthology, we really wanted to ensure that that authors were able to tell their own stories, sort of raw, unvarnished, airbrushed ways, because oftentimes, especially when Sadie and I were growing up and other contributors who are our age and even older, we've had to consistently prove to researchers, academics, journalists, just kind of the general public that we turned out all right, because that was always the marker of for us whether or not our families would be guaranteed the same rights and protections as other families. Because Sadie and I were both born at a time where there was zero protections for our families. And for instance, for myself, I was born in 1986, and one of my moms is still not on my birth certificate, because at the time she was not, that was not allowed to have a second mother on a birth certificate.
That's wild. Mm-hmm. And you're from Vancouver, right?
I'm from Vancouver. Well, I was born in Vancouver, mm-hmm. And then grew up most of my life in Toronto, but now I've actually moved back to the West Coast. And it's really exciting actually for us to be launching our book in Vancouver, because not only do I feel like I have deep roots here, and my moms were part of an ad hoc queer parenting group started just with a bunch of lesbian friends kind of in the Commercial Drive area, who wanted to have kids at a time when homophobia was really rampant in the one kind of main fertility clinic in Vancouver, and it was the height of the AIDS crisis, which was connected to the homophobia at the fertility clinic. And anyway, so my moms and others started this group called the Lavender Conception Conspiracy. And from that group, they basically just supported each other to figure out, like, how are we going to do this as lesbians who want to have kids? How are we going to get sperm? Is it even possible for us to adopt? You know, all of those questions.
Oh, that's so interesting. Go ahead.
And then, I was going to say, one of my moms was born and raised in Vancouver. And so, like, my Zadie is still out here. My grandfather, he actually still has an office at UBC. He's 95, and he was a chemical engineering professor. And so he is bringing all of his friends from the anarchist lunch that he has once a week. They're all going to be at the book launch as well. So both me and Makeda's like roots are actually present, like are here in Vancouver, and we're really excited to kind of launch to our community.
Uh-huh. Well, it's something mm-hmm. I think about. Like, I mean, I am a queer woman who lives on Commercial Drive, but I'm 23.
Aww.
I'm part of this new generation here, and so mm-hmm. we're thinking about this and thinking about what it was like for my predecessors, if you will, in the 80s and 90s, and how much has changed. I think your book, and mm-hmm. correct me if I'm wrong, kind of captures that evolution and that shift, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think we definitely do capture the shift. In terms of, it is interesting because I think that the folks who are writing who are maybe older are their stories are a lot about there's a lot of focus on like their one or both of their parents being closeted and sort of the shame that came with that. We actually have one contributor, Lisa Deanne Smith, who really like bonded with her dad in Vancouver's gay male bar scene. Because her dad would take her, like she was a young adult, and he would take her to the bars, and it was actually the first place that she found belonging as somebody who always felt kind of like outside of the mainstream. And even though she's straight herself, like she just talks about finding that belonging because it was somewhere that she could go and party with her dad and kind of like be out of the mainstream.
And I think also like where the books or like where the stories kind of shift through the generations is like once we see like queer families gaining more rights, or really just queer people gaining more rights, queer spawn are kind of able to more think about their own identities, right? So we have the queer spawn who grew up in the '80s and '90s who are more able to like think about their own sexuality, right? And so we have a lot of people questioning, well, you know, what if I'm queer too? What does that mean? And that being an option rather than just like kind of seeing their parent fight for their own survival.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's really interesting. And I'm curious, who do you think is kind of the audience of your book in the time since it's been initially released and whatnot? And also in terms of your intent, who do you think is kind of your intended audience? Are you directed more towards queer spawn or to kind of educating the general populace about the unique experiences of queer spawn?
Yeah. So yeah. I think like we initially put this book out into the world for queer spawn, for our community,
mm-hmm.
To see their stories reflected.
Mm-hmm.
Again, as Makeda said, in a way that they've never seen other stories reflected in without having to airbrush them or, you know, tuck the messy bits under the carpet. But then at the same time, it's especially once we saw who was receiving this book, it's also for queer communities who have put pressure on themselves for so long to be perfect, to raise perfect children, to not be messy. Because our survival, our human rights were at stake. And so our family, there's always been a lot of pressure surrounding our family to be perfect. And so it's also kind of a love letter to them to like, you know, it's okay. You're not perfect. And it's a request for them to maybe breathe a little bit.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. What has a reaction to the book been so far?
Reaction to the book has been really positive. And I think the reactions that I think of often and that I think maybe carry some of the most meaning for both Sadie and I are when we hear from queer spawn who we've never met, who live in a different place, and who tell us that for the first time, they've been able to, that their experience and their story has been reflected in our book, either through, you know, many stories or maybe through one story in the book, but just that they see their experiences reflected and like how deeply and how much that meant to them. That reaction has been incredible, and that's happened a number of times where folks have just gotten in contact with Sadie and I to tell us that. I think the other thing is that right before we published it, I sort of had a moment of like a little bit of panic, I would say. you know, wondering, oh my gosh, how is the kind of larger queer and trans communities, how are they going to respond to this book?
Yeah. Like, are we ready for this?
Yeah, exactly. Like, are we, you know, because there's some really kind of like happy, sunny, rainbow, prideful stories in there. And there's also stories that are more complex and that really talk about being queer spawn, and also some other experiences that intersect with those queer spawn identities that often aren't talked about, like things that are harder to talk about, like grief, death and dying, sexual abuse, divorce, aging, and all of these things that are just a little bit harder to digest. And I think I just got nervous at the end that right before publishing, like, oh my gosh, what if people have really negative reactions to this? What if people are not ready to see something beyond this like poster child version and poster family version of our families?
Mm-hmm. But they totally were ready, you know? And
yeah.
And it was really well received. And like, I give total, you know, kudos to our community for holding these stories and this book. And while we did get reactions of surprise and shock and kind of like, whoa, we haven't heard this before. I think it was all with, you know, relief and kind of breathing sighs of relief that actually now we can and we are ready to tell these stories.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they're important stories to tell for sure. And so, yeah, this event that's happening on Thursday, maybe talk a little bit about why we're here and what's happening.
Well, we are here because, and actually I wanted to mention this off the top, but I didn't get a chance. We are here because we have a few contributors who are local to the West Coast, and we wanted to kind of take our book on the road and take it to communities where we did actually have contributors in the community that we could celebrate the book with. So we'll have a book launch or an event community celebration at Massey Books this Thursday, January 17th at 7 p.m. And as part of that event, we'll have a couple of authors reading their chapters. Sadie and I will speak a little bit, and then we'll also have a facilitated question and answer period with somebody who's been instrumental in actually helping us organize the book launch in Vancouver, and that's Penny Goldsmith. So she'll be sort of moderating that Q&A. But yes, Massey Books, it's on East Georgia Street this Thursday, 7 p.m.
And that's free admission?
Yep, free admission, yeah. And it's a family event, family friendly, I should say. We will have a cash bar, but yes, free event, and you can bring your kids or not bring your kids, it's up to you. One of the readings at least, there might be some heavier content, but we will give content warnings and everything like that.
Fantastic. Yeah. And I'm assuming people can get the book there.
Yeah. Please, if you can't make the launch, please do go to Massey Books and support them, support our book. They're a wonderful bookstore. If you don't know, if you've never been there, they actually have, they're an Indigenous-owned bookstore, and they actually have an art gallery as part of the bookstore. And I think they have like a reading nook as well that's really sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely one of my favorite Vancouver bookshops, and a lovely venue for something like this, I think. But
yeah, it was the number one recommended place for us, you know?
as people who aren't local to Vancouver.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I hope you guys have a great turnout for that. It sounds like an important project to bring more attention to and to get those stories told. But yeah, thanks so much for coming on the program today. I really appreciate it. Like I was saying on the top, I don't always get to do interviews on here, and it's always when I do, it's with folks doing things that are really interesting and, like I said, personally important to me too. I'm excited to pick up a copy and get to read through the whole thing and share it with everybody I know.
Thank you so much for having us on. And for asking us like really thoughtful questions, and and it's so cool to know that you are a queer person, young queer person living on Commercial Drive.
Yeah,
totally.
And how, you know, just that there's not just history there, but there's like continuity as well.
Yeah, it was a fun sidebar before we finish. I once, right after I moved to the Drive, I was taking a cab back, and my cab driver was saying, "Oh, you live on Commercial Drive. That's where you people live." And I was like, "Excuse me?" And he was like, "Women with short hair and tattoos." And I was like, "You can just say lesbians, sir." So know that the legacy lives on there.
That's perfect.
That's so perfect.
Well, you know what? I'm also a queer lady with short hair and tattoos. So, you know, you're in good company.
Certainly.
That's amazing.
Yes. But yes, thank you so much again for joining me. Again, that book, Spawning Generations, Rants and Reflections on Growing Up with LGBTQ plus Parents. Head on down to Massey Books, 7 p.m. this Thursday for a launch, readings, and all sorts of fun stuff. Thank you so much again, Sadie and McKenna, for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it so much. And yeah, we'll be back in a bit here on Into the Woods after some good, wholesome advertisements. Woohoo!
LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend, and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
All right, I'm gonna do it wrong. I'm about to spit in this mic like freestyle elfin, you know?
Okay. Wait, hold on. Does this make sense?
No, but who cares? All right, let's go. Finally, we... You're not even gonna last. All right. Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival, Fountain, just back from France... Montreal? What the f***? It's a script. I couldn't even... What? Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival. Fountain's just back from France. What are you even saying here? Oh, you're trying to say these are the things featured in this one. You should probably specify that. Because even a f***ing elf couldn't understand that, okay?
Think you can do better than an elf? At CITR, we want to have a variety of voices on the air. Want to write scripts? Do some voice acting? Broadcast your creativity? Volunteer with the CITR Production Department. No experience? We can also train you in everything required. Send an email to psas@citr.ca to learn more. And don't wait to get your voice on the air.
Yeah. bore you with details squeezed out of memories. Rain on the wooden stars, frosty pantry, haunted basement microwave, big meals around big tables, arms passing and smiling, chopstick shoveling, home for lunch, walk to the park, robbery, piano lesson, things shrink as we get old, haircuts on the balcony. And all the things you said, all the things you did, all the things you thought, all the things you read, all the things you hid, all the things you brought, all the things you took, all the things you cooked, all the things you loved.
That right there, another one of my favorite new discoveries of 2019 thus far. That was Bedroom Archaeology from Vancouver's own Only a Visitor off of their album Technicolor Education. Before that, we heard from another great Vancouver artist, one of my favorite 2018 discoveries, Parlor Panther, the track Bad Bad Man off of their album Hot Magic. And of course, before that, we had a lovely chat with Sadie Epstein Fine and Maketa Zook, the editors of Spawning Generations, Rants and Reflections on Growing Up with LGBTQ Plus Parents, which is a collection of nonfiction creative work dealing with the lives and experiences of the children of queer folks. And they're actually hosting a book launch for that this Thursday, January 17th at 7 p.m. at Massey Books. So I'll be there. So if you come on out to that book launch, come and find me and say hello. And thanks so much again to Sadie and Maketa for the lovely chat here on the program. Truly a great way to kick off 2019 here on Into the Woods. And it was great to be back on the airwaves with you, Radioland, hanging out with you every Tuesday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time from here until the foreseeable future. So you know that you'll be able to come on back next week and I will be right here hanging out with you. And I do hope you have a good week. And I hope if you're a student and you're back into the swing of things, that you face the new semester with brightness in your eyes and a skip in your step. and warmth in your heart. And that's the best advice I can give you right now in life. I'm feeling pretty good about the semester. I'm feeling pretty good about life this January. The Vancouver weather definitely doesn't hurt that. It is beautiful here, and it is beautiful in life. Enjoy that. Enjoy the beauty of life. And yeah, I'm going to leave you with one more track before we head on out. Say our goodbyes and it will be good. We're going to listen to a little bit of Soccer Mommy, another great 2018 album. Of course, I'm talking about the two-side single, Henry and I'm on Fire. We're going to listen to I'm on Fire. Say our goodbyes and I'll see you next week. This has been Into the Woods. I'm Mel Woods. Keep on smiling, friends.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Happy, boing, 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 boing